Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're making our way this week through chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, Paul's beautiful letter to the Corinthian community. And if you haven't had a chance to tune into the program, you can go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them right there on your computer or download and put them whatever device you'd like to listen to them on whenever you have the time to do it. You can also hang on at the end of the program. There's information about how you can catch the program on podcast as well. So I ended yesterday, chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, verse 12. And I'm going to go on to verse 13 today. Here's what Paul says. Since we have the same spirit of faith as he had who wrote, I believed and so I spoke, we too believe and so we speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. The glory of God is one of the central themes that Paul's touching on in this chapter. I've said a lot about it this week, and at the heart of it is Jesus brings the human race in his flesh. He brings humanity for the first time into the full presence of God's glory. The Hebrew word is chabod. Jesus is bringing human flesh into the presence of the Father and to share in the divine nature, the very weight and power and majesty of God's being. Instead of being destined for eternal separation from God, instead of having a destiny that's death-directed, it ends in literal eternal darkness. In Jesus, we are given the light of heaven, and the light of heaven is God himself. It's Christ allowing us not only to see, but to participate in God's very being, which means, friends, it's first a share in everything that belongs to Jesus as Son of God, and he makes us sons and daughters of God through baptism, children of God, destined to share in what the Son has inherited, what the Son has been given. And so St. Peter will state it so clearly, says, we'll become partakers of the divine nature. It's so worth stopping just for a minute and asking yourself, do you understand what the apostles are communicating to us? Have you really taken it into your heart? Is it renewing your mind? Is it giving you a hope? Do you know where your life is headed? Friends, this is a sure, unshakable promise. This is literally what your life is all about. Your life, no matter where it is right now, no matter what level of struggle, pain, difficulty, as we talked about yesterday in the program, your life, if you're in Christ, is headed for an unspeakable glory, a glory that's so far beyond our words, a joy, a love, a freedom. God's life given for you. Christ awaits you. In this world, St. Paul makes clear to us, we begin already, even in the midst of suffering, to share and experience the life of Christ, the power of God at work in us. St. Peter in 1 Peter says that even brothers and sisters who are suffering great trial, persecution, who literally were being persecuted at a deep level, even martyred, they were experiencing unutterable and exalted joy. That's your inheritance. If you internalize and you believe and take time to ask the Holy Spirit to make this word come alive in you and to touch your mind and heart, to transform you, a new joy, a new life, a new hope will be birthed in you. This word has a capacity and power to change you. So Paul in this section here is saying that he's quoting Psalm 116. He's applying to himself what King David said about himself, that King David experienced tremendous consolation reflecting on what God has done for him, even in the midst of the trials that he endured. And Paul echoes him by saying, I believed and so I spoke. Why? Because he has the same spirit of faith that King David had. He said, we too believe and we speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, will raise us also with Jesus. You will one day be raised from the dead by God the Father if you die in Christ. You'll be raised as he raised the Lord Jesus himself. And then he will bring us into his presence, Paul says. How about that? Think about how things you're anticipating in the future, maybe in a future wedding or a grandchild that's on the way or a major vacation or a big retirement plan or whatever you've got going, a big ball game you want to go to, whatever. It can kind of lift you in the moment. Well, that stuff is all passing. As good as it is, it all passes away. You know it fades pretty quickly. But this will never fade. Your life is headed for absolute fulfillment. Fulfillment beyond your wildest imagining. Wow. Only Christ can give you this. And Christ longs and desires to give you this. Now, of course, the devil's strategy is to separate you from it. Say, oh, not you. No way. I mean, the Lord doesn't even want to look at you, probably, right? The devil wants you to think about yourself as being outside of God's grace because of what you've done, because of who you are, that somehow you've done things that are so bad that God's grace couldn't be enough for you. You're just not whatever, fill in the blank, right? God's mercy, while we were yet sinners, friends, came to us. God's love is poured upon us, completely undeserving. There's not a person on the earth that's worthy of it. But God in his love and mercy comes to us who are unworthy. There's only two kinds of people on the planet. Sinners and saved sinners. That's it. And a saved sinner is someone whose sins are forgiven. I mean, that's the whole ministry of the church. What the commission that Christ gave to the apostles was to make it possible to go forward in the authority of Jesus, in the mercy of God, to bring the forgiveness of sins to a world that stands in need of forgiveness. That's the human condition. So Paul talks clearly about his own suffering and trial that he himself had to endure as he moves forward in living the life of faith and preaching the gospel. In chapter 11, he'll say, but whatever anyone dares to boast of, I'm speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast of that as well. He said, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I'm a better one. He then goes on to talk about the persecutions and trials. He said, I've endured far greater labors and far more imprisonments with countless beatings, often near death. 5 times I have received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I've been beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I have been shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brethren, in toil and hardships through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there's the daily pressure upon me of my anxiety for all the churches. And Paul's not boasting in his greatness. What he's trying to do is what he touches on here, that he's drawing out from knowing who he is, knowing what he's destined for, and that he's sharing in the life of Christ now. He draws strength even though the circumstances of his life are so difficult. I mean, none of us, who among us has even approached the kind of trial that Paul is experiencing here? And in particular, it's all resistance to the gospel. How many of us experienced any resistance in our lives? I'm talking to myself here too. Any resistance in our lives for the cost of knowing Jesus, right? Of bearing the cross, of standing up for Christ and experiencing pushback. I mean, this was the normal life for St. Paul, but he was not discouraged. He didn't despair. He was confident because he knew the treasure that he'd been given, even though he's carrying that treasure in an earthen vessel, as we said yesterday. He goes on in verse 16, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer man is wasting away, our inner man is being renewed every day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Because we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. This is such an important paragraph here. And really the thing that led me to talk about it this week, inspired by the reading last Sunday at Mass, the second reading, we're given this section of chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. Paul, after hearing, friends, of all that Paul went through and all that he lived through, what does Paul say here in verse 16? We do not lose heart. We do not lose heart in the face of all the trial, all the pushback. He's not in crisis. He's not in crisis saying, what's wrong with my life? Life is hard. God must not love me. Life is difficult. What kind of God am I following? Something's wrong. I'm having a hard time. Therefore, I can't be happy. There's disappointment in this world. I'm experiencing disappointment and betrayal or whatever. So we know, friends, all the things in this life that can steal our confidence and joy and lead us to become disheartened and to literally lose heart, lose that strength in the core of our being that can get up every day and say, I know why I'm alive. I know him in whom I believe. I know where my life is headed, and it's giving me strength and it's lifting me. It's giving me confidence and clarity. I don't let the circumstances of my life control what I think, who I am. It's not where I find my identity. So Paul is saying so clearly, because he can summon these resources from the gospel and the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in his life, he's not worried about the fact that his outer man is wasting away. And I mean, I'm 59 years old. I'm getting up there. My outer man is wasting away. Some of you are listening are older than I am. Maybe you're younger, but you're also a friend of a family friend that in his early 30s just died of cancer recently. We don't know. Everybody's body is wasting away. We need a new body. We need a glorified body. We need to share in Christ's glorified humanity. That's the point Paul is making. So he'll say, even though the outer man is wasting away, the inner man, the new man, that is Christ in you, the hope of glory, Christ in you, your confidence of the future glory that he's prepared for you. You know he's faithful. You know it belongs to him. It's his possession. And he's faithful to his promises. And he's going to bring you into it. And you already know now because you've experienced faith alive in you. And you've known his love and hope in your life. Verse 17, for this slight momentary affliction. Paul describes everything he went through as a slight momentary affliction. I think it was that Teresa of Avila said, when we get to heaven, we're going to realize that all the trouble, all the trials, all the difficulties, all the persecutions were like just one night at a bad hotel in light of the glory that we receive in Christ. The devil wants to make all this circumstantial reality feel to us like a tsunami that's going to swamp us and drown us. The enemy wants to steal the confidence that Paul's talking about here. Friends, I want to continue to take this up tomorrow, talking about this eternal weight of glory. Ask your friends, a friend who might need to hear it, to join us as well. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.